This morning, folks, as we start this new series, and Hebrews will be in the first chapter of Hebrews 1 through 4. And as we read the pouring of the water this morning in Colossians, we're right with the scripture that we're going to be in today. So we know that if we have a firm foundation in Christ, then if you're satisfied and you know your foundation is secure, you know you've built a foundation upon rock and not upon sand or not upon anything, you know who Jesus Christ is. You know that He is God's Son. You know that He died for your sin. You know about Jesus. Well, say, yeah, Mike, we know. We know what a firm foundation looks like. All right, I got a question for you. And you don't got to answer it to me, but you just think about it. Who knows you the best? Your financial advisor? Maybe your family? Maybe your best friend? Maybe your doctor? Or would it be Jesus Christ? How firm a foundation do we really have? When you really stop and you think about it, folks, you've got people all around you that you build a foundation of your life upon. I was at the doctor, Chris had been lately too, and I was at the doctor Friday, and I don't know, but I'll be honest, it makes me feel better after I talk to him when he tells me I can't write you a 100,000-mile warranty, but I'll give you 50,000. Get on out of here, you know. So, Joe, that's pretty good. You get 50,000. That's all Joe gave me on that new truck the other day. But that's as good as I'm going to get, isn't it, Joe? So when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, you're good, dude. Go on about your business. You may die tomorrow. That's the way that it is, you know. But it makes you feel better. And so your foundation, part of your foundation is built upon our doctors, upon our friends, upon the ones that we put the most trust in. A lot of people get up first thing in the morning, they look at their money. They call their financial fella, see what's going to happen here. This thing's done, took a dive. What are we going to do? I mean, I can't stand this every day for the next week. What are we going to do with this money? And that's the way people live their lives. But folks, today I want us to stop and I want us to think about Christ and how great He is. The book of Hebrews was written, we don't know the real author. We don't know exactly who the author is. Been talked about a lot and been talked about it could be different people. Really and truly, they don't think it was Paul because of some things in the way that it was written, and it wasn't exactly his style, but you don't really know. It doesn't give us a full detail of who it was. So when we look at when this book was written and not knowing who wrote it, we see that this book was written to the Jewish people, but they had heard about Christ, they knew Christ, they were building their foundation, but they were almost to a point right here where they would just step back and go back to Judaism, go back to the way that they knew for sure. They weren't real sure about this Christianity. They weren't real sure about Christ and about God and why He would have sent His Son Jesus. Why would He have sent His Son Jesus? And why would you say that God made the heavens and the earth, when the earth is as corrupt as it is? He didn't make anything corrupt. God didn't make the earth. He might have made the heavens, but He didn't make the earth. And so this is what was floating out there during this time. It was a time when people were very uncertain about really what was happening and how things were really put together, what God really done. And so that's where we pick up today with our scripture. It's a time that we need to know, folks, that we have a foundation. And we need to know that God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. He created every bit of it. Now, yes, there is a lot of corruption in the world, in the earth, on this earth, but that's another story for another day. But we can get into that story too. But he created it all for his glory. And so as we look at the scripture this morning, let's read the first four verses, not chapters, but verses. It says in Hebrews 1, it says, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. You hear that? He spoke through the prophets to the people back in the Old Testament. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You see, folks, the people then were wondering and thinking that they could worship the angels as well. They were thinking that the angels was probably as great as Christ was. They were thinking that God created these angels, and he created Christ, and if he created all this, then they had to be as important as Christ is. And so whoever the author of Hebrews was trying to make sure that we knew and understood that Christ is God's Son. And no one has ever been called God's Son except Jesus Christ. No name is greater. No name greater anywhere than the Son of God. No angel had been called the Son of God. And so we see that the author of this book was trying to ground these people in the Word of God. They were trying to make them understand that Christ is God's Son. He sent his Son to be with us. He was with God before when he created the earth and the heavens and everything in it. But they didn't really have that good a understanding. They really didn't want to listen as well as they should. Does that sound like anybody today? Yeah, sounds just like us. It's no different then than it is today. You find all kinds of people today, folks, that does not want to hear the Word of God. Doesn't happen. They don't want it to happen. They're not going to listen. They're not going to take time to listen. They got other things to do. They're worried about everything in the world except the Word of God. You know, I stopped and I thought about a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was that we was on the talents. We had the sermon on the talents. And you know, God, he sent the one guy 5 and 3 and 1. And they multiplied. The one with 5 and 3, they multiplied. And the one that had the 1, he didn't. He just kind of laid back and hid his money to get so he could make sure he could give it back to the owner. You know. And as I think about this foundation that we build, folks, we have a tendency to base everything that we do, everything that we talk about, everything is based around a dollar. You ever notice that? Everything's based around a dollar. If you talk about going to the grocery store, what do you talk about? You don't talk about mac and cheese. You talk about how much a mac and cheese costs, you know. And what used to be 50 cents is now $5. And that's what we talk about. We talk about money. Everything we do is about money. And so we build our self around a foundation of money. But you see, the talents that God has given us that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, those talents, yes, it was money that he left, But you stop and you think about, folks, the talents that God has given you outside of money. The talents that he gave you and the things that he's given you to work with, the things that he's given you to understand, that wonderful brain that you have, to understand God and to understand who Jesus is. You think about how blessed you are that God has given you this. And if you're not capable of knowing and understanding, he loves you the same, and he's got you wrapped right here, right in under his arm, just like a mama hen. So he has us covered in any way. But folks, we have the understanding to know about Jesus Christ. We have that understanding because we're smart enough to know. We're smart enough to comprehend this. It's nothing, it's not rocket science. It's all pretty simple, really and truly, when you stop and you think about it. And so when we stop and we think about it, you know, that it, if you look at the first or second verse right there, second verse, maybe. Well, let's just look at the first and second. It said, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son, through his Son. Now, he spoke to the prophets. And he spoke to those prophets to talk to his people. And you think about the prophets that he spoke to. And so we think about Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. How did he speak to prophet Isaiah? He spoke to the prophet Isaiah in a vision, didn't he? Yeah. And you could think about Jacob. How did he speak to Jacob? In a dream. He came to him in a dream. You could stop and you could think about, let's see, Abraham, Moses. But he spoke to Abraham and he spoke to Moses personally. He spoke to them like I would Brian. So you see, God spoke to the prophets to talk to his people, to be able to communicate to his people. And then we come along to the New Testament, and he spoke to us. And he spoke to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that the most awesome thing in the world? That he chose Jesus, his only Son, to come and to be our sacrifice and to speak the words to us that we are reading right here. The words that Jesus Christ taught us, the words that and how he taught us to live, how he taught us to share with others, how he taught us to be a disciple for him. So, yes, the people were hearing this, but they were thinking, I don't think God sent his Son to talk to us. I don't think the way the world is that he would have sent his Son into this world. They just didn't understand. And that's where we are today. They did not understand. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. So you see, he created everything, but he promised the inheritance was to the Son. It was to Jesus Christ. He had appointed Jesus to be the one to receive this. It was written right here that he had promised it to him. Folks, what do you think? If God has promised Jesus Christ this inheritance of heaven, and he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, who do you think's going to inherit what Jesus has? It's going to be you, and it's going to be me. When we accept him and we become a disciple for him and we enjoy doing the things here on this earth that he asks us to do, and we enjoy being the disciple that he calls us to be. If you don't enjoy discipleship here, if you don't enjoy giving up yourself here, if you don't enjoy doing things for others here, you're probably not going to like heaven. I mean, you may not. So we stop and we ask ourselves again, who is our best friend? Is our best friend Eddie? Is that my best friend? I hope my best friend would be Jesus Christ. I hope the relationship I have outweighs the relationship me and Eddie have. And me and Eddie have a good relationship. But I hope it outweighs that relationship. You see, folks, we cannot put our trust in the people of this world. It tells us that in the Bible. Do not put your trust in man. Do not put your trust in the things of this world. You can only build a foundation in Jesus Christ, God's Son. He came. He came that we might have life. And life starts, folks, eternal life starts the day we accept Jesus Christ and the day we say we're going to start living for Him. We're going to start being the disciple He's called us to be. That's the day eternal life starts. We're living a little bit of it here, but it's going to be eternal when we get to be with Him. But we don't enjoy what we live here. We gripe and complain about everything in the world. Does that sound like anybody you read in the Bible? Israelites did too, didn't they? It's no different. It's the same thing that they went through, that God's been dealing with these people ever since He made Adam and Eve. It's the same thing. It just, we think that we're a lot more wiser and a lot smarter and intelligent, and we think we got it going on when they didn't. They didn't know. They didn't have a clue. Well, we don't. We don't. So we stop and we think about the inheritance that is waiting on us. Folks, there's people at the courthouse every day, every week, every year, and it will be until these people are gone, arguing and fighting over an inheritance, over money, over something. They are up there every day. I guarantee you they are interested in what they're going to get. They don't want anybody to have anything that there could be have that they could have here. So we have to go to the courthouse and we have to get this fought for and we have to get it settled. It doesn't matter about our family relationship after it's over with. I got to have what Mama said I was supposed to get, and that's the deal. That's good in a sense, but it's not good. It's not good at all. And so that inheritance waits on us as we are called the sons and daughters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. Folks, He is our glorious Redeemer. He is our glorious Redeemer. He has redeemed us for a life everlasting. But we got to get this foundation set in stone, and we got to get it right. Thursday, Mr. Earl, he's been sick. Mr. Earl Davis sees him after the cemetery out there, and so he's been asking me if I take care of the Olive Branch Cemetery while he's sick and figure out what he's going to do. So I went out there Thursday morning because they was going to set four stones. And when I got there to set the four stones, well, this lady says she has eight graves. She's got seven markers on the truck ready to be put in the ground. She don't have eight graves. She got six. She got one person left out. She got the marker for them, but y'all going to have to decide who is it that ain't going to make it here. So, I mean, you know, I hate it, but that's the way it is. Well, it ended up, we worked around, got her another spot that she could work with, and got it all worked out. But you know, it's two things there, folks, that I noticed while I was standing there watching them boys get ready to set them stones. The first thing I thought was the lady that went and prepared her stones before checking to see if she had eight or six graves, she just in her mind went on and said, okay, I'm going to get these seven stones ready to go and take them to the cemetery and have them put out. That sounds like a real good plan. But the fact is, there was one out of the seven that didn't have a place. And as I stood there that morning looking at that and wondering what I'm going to do about this seventh spot, trying to come up with a solution that would satisfy her and everybody else, I thought about the kingdom. I thought about how firm a foundation. While I'm doing that, these boys knew where we was going to put six of them, so they were starting to dig the footings for the rocks, and they were building a foundation for these others while I was trying to figure out the seventh. They were working on the foundation, and I'm standing there thinking, and I'm preaching Sunday about the foundation of heaven, about the foundation of God. I'm standing here looking, and I'm thinking, and there's one left out. There's one left out of a place to be buried, but there is one left out. It could be that there's one left out of our bunch, folks, that does not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that won't be with us. This is serious. Not having a grave is serious, but not knowing where you're going after you leave this world is really serious. And I thought about the foundation that them boys was building. My gosh, we could have built a house on the foundation they put down for them big rocks. And I'm thinking, what a foundation that they are laying. And I thought about, how are we as Christians, how are we as Grace Life people, are we laying a foundation? Are we laying a foundation that we could build a house on? Do we know we have a plot in heaven? Do we know that we are signed, sealed by God's blood through His Son Jesus? Do we know? Folks, this is serious. It's serious as a heart attack. And this is why we put these things into play, me and Brian do, to help build a foundation for each one of us. That one day when we get to heaven, we'll say, look here, every one of us at Grace Life Church is right here with us. Because the Bible tells us, folks, that there are people that come and sit in church and they think they're going to be in heaven, but there'll be people that won't be there. There'll be people that just not going to be there. So we have to stop and we have to think about this Redeemer and how glorious He really is, how much He really loved us. And then it says that when He cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. You see His grace there, folks, when He cleansed us of our sins. You see that grace that He cleansed us through His blood, through His Son Jesus upon that cross. He poured out that grace upon us that we can have eternal life, that our sin debt was paid. He paid everything that day. His grace is so wonderful. His love is beyond any measure that we could ever think about, anything that we could ever do. And it says He sat down in the place of honor. You know, back in the day when they had the priest, the high priest that they talked about, the high priest would make the sacrifice to the at the altar, and he would stand because, you know, he wasn't going to sit down. He wasn't supposed to sit down. He would stand and make this as he was preparing and doing the sacrifice at the altar, the high priest would. But you see the difference in the high priest and Jesus, because when He was finished, it says right there, I just read it, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. He sat down. He was through. He took Him a seat. He was through. He had done all He could do for you. Now He offers that back to you as a relationship, as a child of God. And folks, our foundation is not too good. So many of us have such a weak foundation. Such a weak foundation. As you see the hurricanes come through, you see the houses, some stood, some didn't, some blowed away. I mean, I know it had a lot to do with other things, but some of them were built on a good foundation. Some of them weren't. They were just throwed up to make money, throwed up as a temporary shelter, I call it, just to make money on the Airbnb list. They don't have a foundation. It's all about the dollar. That's all it is. And we're so wrapped up in it that we give those dollars to them just right and left just to go hang out and spend time with that rat race that goes on. And instead of stopping and just thinking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's nothing wrong with the vacationing and all that, but folks, if you're not real careful, you'll get caught up in that real quick, and it'll turn into one of these deals where it's every week, every month or something. You've got to be in somewhere in all of the hustle and bustle, and you're not on a good foundation at all when you're putting things in front of God. So it tells us that after Jesus had taken his seat at the right hand of God in heaven, it shows that his Son is far greater than the angels. And just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. You see, he's the greatest mediator. He's the greatest redeemer. He's the greatest, folks. You'll never see or meet another person greater than Jesus Christ. He never had a thing but the clothes on his back. He didn't have any way of getting anywhere. He walked. He didn't have any money. He didn't have anything. And most folks would look at him and say, why would we desire to follow somebody like that? He never accomplished a thing in his whole time he was here on this earth. If you look at it from a worldly point of view. But if you look at it from a godly point of view, he accomplished everything. Everything for you and for me. He accomplished everything God asked him to do. And he never sinned while doing it. And he died upon that cross that we could have the foundation that it will require for us to spend eternity with him. I hope today, folks, as we come and we start this new series, that we stop and we think about God's word. We think about how firm it is. What he has written in this Bible is God's word. And it tells us the very last thing in the book of Revelation says, do not change it. Don't alter it in any way, because this is my word. Don't be doing anything with it. So when we read the words that are here in this Bible, we know that it is God sent. We know that God has provided this scripture for us, for our learning. So folks, as we prepare to go back out into the world, ask yourself, who is my best relationship with? Is it with my financial dude, my family, my grandkids, my best friend? Or is it with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Who do you spend the most time with during the day? Who do you spend the most time thinking about during the day? And that will tell you all you need to know. All you need to know. Because he just loves you so much. All he wants is a relationship. When I was at Vanderbilt Friday getting my blood drawn, there was a big guy sitting there, and me and him got to talking, and he was the one doing the blood work. And I had my hat on. I went in. He said, dude, I like that hat. And I said, thank you, sir. And we got to talking, and there was a lady sitting there that hadn't said much, and she said, and he asked me, he said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm a pastor mainly, and do a lot of other things, but I'm a pastor mainly. And she said, I know, I knew it. Doesn't that make you feel good when somebody look at you and say, I knew it? You know. So we have a foundation, folks, and we have to let our light shine. After we get that house built, we have to turn the light on, leave it on, let it shine. But are other people seeing it? And that guy, that bigger guy then, he said, he turned around and he hadn't said much. He was listening. And And he said, the big guy said, "Sir," I said, he said, "Brother," I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "It's all about that relationship, isn't it?" I said, "It's all about that relationship, brother." He said, "Isn't it wonderful?" I said, "It is wonderful." He knew Jesus. He knew who Jesus Christ was. He'd sitting there thinking about it. He's thinking how wonderful it is that we can have a relationship, that we can talk about it, and we can come to know that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, I hope you enjoy your relationship as much as I do mine. I hope you tell others about your relationship. I hope you talk about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope that he knows you. I hope you don't have a plot that's left out. I hope you're all covered. Everything, you've looked at your documents and everything is covered, but your documents, you know where they at? Right here. That's the only document you go have. I hope you got it all covered. Stop and think about it. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.